Welcome to Creating Cash Flow, September 25th, 2022. Evan, okay, victories. You started using Close, C-L-O-Z-E, CRM, which is customer something management.
What is customer relationship management tool.
There you go. So a CRM is a type of software that will let you, you know, organize all your contacts. And he's using Close right now to organize his business contacts and clients. Awesome. He booked 2 voiceover jobs since July. Tell me about these.
Like one of them was for a banking association. I was there. They were putting together an educational video for middle school students to teach them about banking. Like their school districts could hire them to bring the program to the school and make the presentation. And it came along with a video that's a game show. And I am the game show host as a pig mascot. So I got to read all the questions and be the host of a game show about banking stuff.
And how did you get that gig?
That one was through the casting website Voice123. Auditioned for it at like 4 in the morning on a Wednesday, and then got the invitation later that afternoon, and was very surprised because I didn't expect it to come that soon after signing up on the platform, because I only signed up in June or started auditioning in June. Yeah.
Well, when you've got it, you've got it. So
yes.
And what was the other job?
The other one was for not a newspaper, but like an online news source that covers news in 5 countries in Southeast Asia. And they were doing a story, like mini documentary about the people who were forced to leave Myanmar and to go to Bangladesh 5 years ago. And they interviewed some of those people who were forcibly who were forced to leave their homes, and they interviewed them in their native language and needed people to provide the English language voice for the news animations that they were doing. And so I got to be the voice of one of them in that animation, which was.
And how did you get that job?
A friend referred me to the person. Like she was friends with the person who was leading the project and has been for a while. And I guess they needed 5 voices, so they were looking for other voices, and she recommended me to her to be one of them, and it worked out.
Awesome. So good. And your first technical writing project, because that's your side gig to the voiceover work, your first technical writing project is nearing its completion. How did it go?
It's going well so far. Like a lot of things that are like time-based are because they're busy doing, they have other priorities. Like this is, they contracted it out to me because so they could focus on their priorities, which was all part of the plan. So it has been taking some time for them to get back to me with feedback on the work that I'm doing for them. So that way I can make the proper revisions to the document and then send it back to them for approval. And so far it's going well. Like I think I mentioned a couple of coaching sessions ago that they had really good feedback and were very impressed with the quality that I was able to give them for the document. And it still is the case. There's no like major errors or fixes that they want me to do, any changes that they're wanting me to make to these internal standard operating procedures are based on what things on their end. Like we changed our mind or we made a mistake on our end. It's not, you did something wrong and we need you to fix all these errors that you made. It's, we have different thoughts about how we want it to go. So can you make those changes for us? And like I have the next final submittal, hopefully will be this week for them to review and approve. And then once it's approved, I will send them the final invoice for that and then get paid for the full project and close it out.
That's so exciting. So going into this particular job, because it was with a company that you'd worked for before as an employee. So you had some concerns and a little bit of apprehension about working with them again, even though you're working in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of that materialize?
No, not in terms of the working relationship with them. It did not affect like my ability to work with them as a client. Like on a personal level, sure, some memories of what it was like to work for them as an employee came up, but looking back, nothing like really strong like impacted my ability to work with them as a client.
That's great. That's really lovely that you, some of the things you were kind of afraid of that might happen just didn't.
Yeah.
And stuff that, you know, as the memories came up, you were able to kind of process them and handle them. And sounds like, is there anything, because the difficulty with these kind of gigs, which for you is you're bidding on a project, they're coming to you with this thing that they think is going to be this big and take this long. And you're like, okay, well, based on that, I'm going to charge this much. And this was the first time you, you know, wrote your own contract and proposal and just, so is there anything now that you're almost done with it that you would have done differently in terms of you with this, with any client? Like, oh, this is what I learned from this.
The big one is to invoice on submittal of my deliverables and not on their approval of my deliverables. Because that gives me a firm timeline for being paid for the work that I'm doing, rather than, because if I wait for them to approve it, I don't know how long that'll take. I don't want to force them to like, okay, I need you to approve this by this time. I want to give them the flexibility to review it and approve it as it best fits into their schedule. But if I, this project, I build them based on when they approved each stage of the project, which is in their hands and not mine. So I'm going to try to rework the contract in terms of project management and execution so that I will invoice them on the submittal when I submit the documents to them for the to review, but still like make sure that it's clear that I'm going to take care of them after they get it, and like for the right, for the revisions that we agreed to, number of revisions and changes that we agreed to in the contract, but at least just reframe the payment to be more in my control. Like,
oh my gosh, you sharing that, which you learned through going through this whole process with them, will help whoever's listening to this be like, oh, I'm just going to do that from the beginning and it will be so much better. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing that for sure. Of course. Anything else?
That that's the big, I think there may be some things that are not coming to mind as strongly right now. Possibly.
That's a good one though.
I think that's the big one right now. I think I'm going to be mumbling or rambling to try
but
to
find. But that also speaks to the fact that you just kind of like, I guess this is what I'm going to put in the contract. Like you did a very good job of sort of projecting forward and surmising what would be good boundaries and good structure. If you don't have a lot of like, oh, I learned this, that speaks to how well you structured it from the beginning. So I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
Okay. And the other victory is that your voiceover website is now live and launched. And everybody can take a look at, it's his name, Evan. And how do you pronounce your last name?
Wijaya.
Wijaya. And it's WIDJAJA.com.
Yeah, I just dropped it in the chat as well.
Perfect. And so you wrote, I'm mostly happy with the content on it so far, but of course there's a little voice in my head that's telling me that the written content, the main bio, contact me section are not good enough. Too wordy, not detailed enough, missing important info. And yes, you'll expand on websites are always works in progress. So mm-hmm. even when you're like, I'm done, and then there's four things you want to add later. Yeah, of course. So let me take a look.
Okay.
I like the colors. It's very you, as far as like the layout and the visuals. It's very clean. It's very clear, crisp, professional. So that's all great. The first thing that caught my eye is in the section where your the main part where you're talking to the client, mm-hmm. and you say your words are important. They deserve to be heard. Love that. And you have the first sentence in white and the second sentence in golden. And then the first sentence is flush left. And then the second sentence is centered. I would center both sentences. I would keep them colored as they are. Because when I first looked at it, my eye kind of caught on it and I was like, oh, wait, is this just not centered, like a tech error? Mm. And then I was like, no, I think he meant to do this on purpose. But then it was hard for my brain to kind of put those two sentences together. Like I just, they're a little, I understand staggering them, but I think it's too far apart.
Okay.
So I would just center them both and use the color to kind of separate them and put the emphasis on they deserve to be heard.
Okay.
And then you write, whether you have a story to tell, knowledge to share, or a message to impart, communicating your content clearly and effectively to your audience is key. My job is to lend my voice and provide studio quality audio that helps you create that bond between you and your audience. I would say between you and your listeners, so that you're not using the word audience twice. That's one thing I look for when I'm reviewing copy, including my own, is mm-hmm. I try not to duplicate words. And then I might add a middle sentence to that. Whether you have a story to tell, knowledge to share, or a message to impart, communicating your content clearly and effectively to your audience is key. You're absolutely right. Clear, effective. But I want to make sure people know you really have a personality,
mm-hmm.
which as you gather more work for yourself, like you doing the voice of the game show Pig is not up on this site yet, but obviously that will emphasize that you have a lovely, fun personality, as does the picture you chose for the contact section. But I think you could put, okay, clearly and effectively to your audience is key, period. And making sure your copy and comma, of course, making sure your copy holds their attention. Because the reason that's important is you're speaking again to, you're speaking in their language. They mm-hmm. want it to be clear. They want it to be effective, but they also want it to hold people's attention, because that's the hardest thing to get. And they're like, ah, he gets it. He understands that. So I would throw that little sentence in there.
Okay.
Second paragraph. So I would do so, comma after so. Mm-hmm. So if you need a laid back buddy, down to earth confidant, a subject matter expert, a quirky weirdo, or even parentheses, insert the type of voice you need here, we can work together to create something that resonates with you and ultimately your listeners. Okay. I have two things about this sentence. One is I want to be careful, or I suggest you'd be careful about trying to seem like I can do everything.
Right.
Because nobody can do everything. And you really want, it's like I have range, but yet I know my voice and what it's best at, kind of thing. The second thing is I'm trying to think if there's another word for listeners and audience.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, he used it here, which is good. You know what? Why don't you do, maybe you could do paragraph one, second sentence. My job is to lend my voice and provide studio quality audio that helps you create a bond between you and the people you want to reach.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So then laid back buddy, down to earth, confident, subject matter expert, quirky weirdo. I would definitely take away the insert type of voice you need here. That's just okay. Way too, that's like, I do everything.
Gotcha.
And then when you're doing a list of these kind of descriptors, the rule in comedy is the rule of three.
Yeah.
So I try to write with those kind of structures because our brain is very used to hearing it. Our brains love music, which means they love rhythm. And mm-hmm. So if your writing can have rhythm in, at any place, that's a good thing. So even the way you have already wrote this, you're creating a rhythm because you laid back buddy, down to earth confident, subject matter expert. It's like you're dun, 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 three, mm-hmm. three, three. So if you're gonna do, if we're gonna pick three things, then if they each have three descriptors, that's rhythm. And it just makes it more delightful to read. Mm-hmm. It's little things, but that little things are what adds the flavor. So I think it's important. Subject matter expert. I think laid back buddy and down to earth confidant are a little similar. So which do you think is more the texture of you? I like down to earth confidant. What do you think?
Okay. I was leaning toward laid back buddy.
Laid back buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Laid back buddy. I'm very close with both of them. Laid back buddy. Whether you need a laid back buddy, a subject matter expert, or a dun 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 weirdo. Or I don't even know if the word weirdo is it. A quirky pop of personality, but that's not quite it because we're going for adjective, adjective, noun.
Yeah.
That's with the rhythm again. Laid back buddy, a subject matter expert, or a I think laid back is also hyphenated. I would check. I'm not 100% sure on that. When you say weirdo, what do you mean?
Kind of like zany, off the wall.
Okay.
Sort of character.
Okay.
And I can always mull on this more offline.
You can finesse that. You can find something. But even off the wall character, because you're hyphenating like down to earth confident, off the wall character, laid back buddy, that kind of fits. But play around with that. So you just need one more. So if you need any of those, we can work together to create something that resonates with you and ultimately your listeners love it. Okay. Then down to the contact. Now, question on that photo. I like that you're going for something that's that shows a completely different contrast to the one you have on the top. Did you only take photos with that outfit?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have other photos that are like this one in the same vein? Or is this like your best quirky shot?
Right now, this is the best quality quirky shot that I have.
Okay. So, and who did you take these with? Like, was this a paid, big paid photo shoot or?
Yeah, it was a local photographer who was having a special headshot day.
Oh.
And so I jumped on, I know her personally as a friend. So I jumped on that.
And does she have those regularly?
Yes, I could purchase one regularly. Okay. But I could purchase a package that was separate from that particular.
No, I want this to be cheap, 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 cheap. Because you just need, I want another, what I would want ideally here is you like in a polo shirt or just a casual t-shirt, no writing on the t-shirt. Casual to contrast with the suit jacket. And then because we know your text is going to be in that direction, maybe you're pointing. Because the thing about you shrugging your shoulders, to me, it's sort of like, I don't know, contact me, don't contact me. So I just don't want anyone. And again, it's not like I sat there and brooded on that. It's just my eye caught on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to have a website where nothing like, no record scratches.
Right.
Just everything's smooth and makes complete sense. So that's not like high on your priority list, but if it's super easy to do, you can just run in and take a couple photos like that. And then as far as the text goes, I know that we massaged this a little bit, but there was one other thing I wanted to shift. My voice comes prepackaged with a human who is easy to collaborate with, fun to work with, and dedicated to elevating. Okay. You wrote elevating your story, knowledge, or message to its full potential. That's a little wordy because you could either just use the word message or just use the words copy. Dedicated to elevating your copy to its full potential.
Okay.
Or elevating your message, either one of those. Now, again, you are a lovely, kind-hearted, sweet, wonderful person. That is your natural essence. And sometimes when you have that essence, you can be a little less placating with your text. Just be straight up. Instead of, hey, if that sounds good to you, just say, feel free to drop me a message. Now, again, you use the words message twice. Notice, I'm just pointing that out. So I think instead of, if that sounds good to you, feel free to drop me a message or call and let's chat about how I can help. I understand you're going for a very friendly, like, hey, casual, no pressure. I totally understand the underlying sentiment you're trying to convey. I just want you to be able to convey that. You can convey that with a little more strength.
Right.
And because you've used like four qualifiers. If that sounds good, feel free. Let's chat. Like, it's okay. We get it. So maybe something like, feel free to contact me and we'll chat about how I can help. A little more direct.
Okay.
But still friendly. Feel free to drop me a message and we'll chat, or feel free to contact me and we'll chat about how I can help. Okay. Now here's this weird thing. Is this some sort of widget where you put like, glad you stopped by, wishing you a happy Tuesday? Cause I noticed you have good morning, happy Tuesday in your footer as well. Does that like change on the day?
No, I just like saying happy Tuesday. That's part of my quirk in person. And I guess that doesn't really come across. It just comes out of the blue.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think you can, it's a record scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is that a widget? And is it just not working? Did he not set it to the right day? Is today Tuesday? I don't want anyone focused on that.
Yep.
I want them focused on filling out your contact form.
Right.
So I think I would just say, glad you stopped by. Yeah. I dropped the happy Tuesday thing.
Okay.
And same with the footer.
Gotcha.
And what I'm trying to say, and this is important for people to know, you are nice. You are warm. You are friendly. And you're a professional. That comes across in your smile. That comes across in your demeanor. That comes across in the way you're communicating to them on the text. So you do not have to go overboard of softening your edges.
Mm-hmm.
You have to strengthen your edges a little bit, just a little bit, a little more, just direct to the point.
Okay.
Whereas someone else who had sharper edges of their personality, a little snark, a little hard, they might need to go out of their way to soften their edges a little bit and be a little less, either some people write really professional, but it can sound clinical. And it's like, we need to add some personality. You write a little too, making sure everybody feels very, very, very comfortable. But I say, don't worry, we feel comfortable. Your smile is fantastic. And you have a cute contact picture. No one is scared of you.
Okay.
No one feels uncomfortable. And trust that is what I'm saying. But otherwise, good job, Evan.
Thank you.
What I like too about your site is the colors, the way it is. It's so funny. It leans techie, which is perfect. That is a part of you. And I like that when I look at this website, I see this warm, nice guy. You're not even wearing a button-up Oxford. You're wearing a softer undershirt. You're warm. And I get this like, okay, he's also like techie, which is exactly what I'm going to get if I'm going to work with you. Mm-hmm. Whether you're writing technical copy for my business or you're playing a pig, like this is what I'm going to get. And that's what you're trying to convey with a website. Here is a taste of me. Do you like this? Because this is what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I guess, so thank you so much for all the feedback. First of all, I'm going to jump into WordPress and start hammering out those changes. The next is, since this is now, it's now live and it's searchable and everything, but I want to feel comfortable with it when I start marketing it out and like presenting, like, please visit my website. Mm-hmm. And so like with the changes that I have to make, I now don't feel comfortable like reaching out to new clients and stuff, or should is it still, is it good
you
enough?
Have to make four changes that will take you 5 minutes. Okay. Everything I said will take you a total of 5 minutes. Oh, you mean like with the contact picture and stuff,
like the contact? Yeah. And
no, it's fine. That is what I call not a deal breaker. That's just a suggestion to just elevate it a little more, but okay. It is fine as is. Do not feel weird or bad about it. If I didn't like the contact picture and I thought that was actually harming your website, I would say you have to change the picture. That would okay. be what I would say. And I would say that to you. I have said it to millions of people, mm-hmm. hundreds, but it's not. I okay. just think there's an opportunity there for something that says a little something different and gives a different feel for your personality. You in a polo shirt or a t-shirt, casual mm-hmm. Evan. Yeah, that's okay. all. Yeah.
Okay. So
there are things that will elevate and there's things that harm.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on this website that's harming you right now.
Okay.
I should have said that at the beginning. There's just a few things I'd like you to tweak to make it a little bit better. The photo is low on the priority list. So you okay. should feel 100% confident with sharing this. Share it, share it, share it.
Okay. Thank you. That definitely relieves a lot of the stresses and fears. Is there would be something in here that would harm me, but knowing that helps a lot.
No. And while I am not equipped, I don't know enough to be able to evaluate a voiceover demo. What I can say is I was like, oh my God, that's Evan? Like, wow, your voice sounds so good and so different in the different, you know, recordings and even within your demos. I'm like, wow, you're really good.
Thank you.
Really good. Good job. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You should feel very proud of this.
Thank you.
Evan, thank you for sharing that and letting me contribute in that way. That's so cool. Is that good? Was there anything else?
Yes. I think, this is something that I noticed kind of late is my name is only present in the top left of the website. And I think there was a suggest, I wanted to write it in first person, everything in first person so that mm-hmm. I'm talking. But part of me is wondering if I should restructure it to third person so that way people can remember and see my name or
no.
That, okay.
They had to type your name in. You know, they had to be cognizant of your name to get to your website.
Mm.
And it's just a one-page site. And if I ever go to another page on your site, your header is going to be right there with your name.
Okay.
On all the pages. And I think that talking to people, I don't mention my name on my website. It's up at the top. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people would say Christine in the testimonials, but otherwise I don't think my name, you don't see it anywhere else.
Okay.
So then, I mean, how did you get to my website without
right.
knowing me? And if they like what they hear, they'll find your name.
Mm.
Yeah. The only thing I did think of was your name is difficult to spell in that if someone hears it, they don't necessarily know how to spell it.
Right.
So you might consider, again, low priority, getting a URL that's easier for people to remember and go to. I looked up Evan VO. That was my first thought, but it seems to be taken. But something like that. For example, right now, I have a program coaching for caregivers that's called You First.
Mm.
And technically, the URL I can send to somebody to get there is christineoller.com/youfirst. All one word. Now that works if I'm emailing that URL out, but if I'm on a podcast or if I'm being interviewed, that's a mouthful and no one will remember. Mm-hmm. So I also have the URL youfirstcaregivers.com that points to that page. So if I'm on a podcast, I can be just go to youfirstcaregivers.com. So someone can be remembering that easier than christineoller.com/youfirst.
Right.
So you might figure out, even if you had it, you can go to happytuesdays.com and then it just takes them right to your site.
Mm.
And that's fun. Like how random. And you just go, oh, well, my name, like if I say it to you, you're not going to know how to spell it. So just go to happytuesdays.com. And that's a way to then get that Happy Tuesday thing going. So when you use it in an email or whatever, and then it's like, oh, it's this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Okay.
Not every time. It's good to send the link in writing when it's your name so they can see your name again.
Yeah.
But verbally, we have to be very conscious about a lot of our, when we're being interviewed and stuff, it's delivered verbally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just a thought for everybody listening to think about.
But that's also, mm-hmm. No, but that's also not a red flag, or it's just a
low priority. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Start sharing this. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Christine.
Yeah. You're totally welcome. Cricket, 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 cricket. This is such a good one. Okay. Hi. Victory. Hi. I hosted a major event at my school with an alumni who's now the lead director on a Marvel Studio series. It was a joyful reunion and a huge success. And he was so complimentary of me, which will help my business. Yes, it will, especially if you get that quote. What did he say? Paraphrase it. Go, did I get this about right? Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read this whole thing. Cricket is a cash flow kitten. She has a job, but then she is starting her business as a film festival consultant. Film festival consultant. Thank you.
Yes.
Which is basically what she's doing for a school as her job. So you wrote, the last few weeks have been insane. A series of commitments at your day job unexpectedly blew up and required time that took me away from your business, your side business. Those are energy leaks that I'm trying very hard to plug. The good news, I'm headed off to a film festival on Tuesday where I will be moderating a number of panels and expanding my network. Great for future marketing. Absolutely. The bad news, I feel exhausted and I just want to crawl into bed for a week. Also, you did a huge high profile positive thing for your day job that yielded personal notes from the president and VP and your direct supervisor, but the production aspect was awful, inefficient, and nearly brought me to tears on multiple occasions. We're just so short staffed and the impact is endless. My superior is now aware that I am very unhappy with the impediments that prevent me from doing my work in an efficient manner. I told him that I need to speak with him when I return and that I feel some changes need to be made about the way I work. In a way, I'm now posed to have an honest conversation with him about cutting back my hours and consulting on the side. I did find a contract from the past with this school, but not for the current position you're in. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole clause about confidentiality and not revealing anything that gives our school a competitive advantage. Knowing this company, they will lean into that regarding my work. So I'm quite confused about how to handle that conversation. Yeah, this is complex.
It's complex. And I do want to clarify that the big event that did well was the Q&A with the alum. I just wrote that all very quickly. So everybody's really happy with my work. And now I want to go in and say, cutting back my hours, same salary, same benefits, because they can't afford to raise my salary. Mm-hmm. And they know that. And I think they feel bad about it. And I understand mm-hmm. where we are. But I also feel like I have to openly ask for change.
Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, is the way you frame it. You frame it of like, I totally understand that right now you don't have the capability to raise my salary. So I've been thinking of a way that can be a win-win for us both, in that we can work within that salary cap, mm-hmm. but enable me to still be able and want to stay. I love this job, but I can't stay as is.
Right. That's so terrifying. I
of
feel
course.
That way, I'm so terrified to say that.
Yeah. And that's the complexity, because whenever you're asking for something to mm-hmm. change, especially in hours or in salary and rate, mm-hmm. you have no leverage unless you're willing to walk away.
Right.
I mean, that's not to say you can't try to have the conversation, even if you know you're not going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be realistic then about the fact that you have less, that they could just say no.
Right.
And then you're like walking back and going and doing the job as is. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. Okay. What if they just say no to everything? The hours, getting extra help, doing things more efficiently. If they're just like, no, sorry, what are you gonna do?
Well, I think that as right now, I can't afford to quit.
Right.
And I think that there are two ways that this could play out. I am concerned about that confidentiality aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say no, you can't consult on the side, then I'm in a really tough position because I don't have an immediate way to expand my income, which I need.
Right. So hold on. I think you need to get a copy of your current contract.
Well, it's funny because I've been looking for it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that I ever signed one with this job description.
How do you you have to find out if you did. So you have to go to them and say, can I get a copy of my most current contract and see what they come back with.
Yeah. Okay. I even looked all over. We have this like extensive human resources system where all the stuff is. I couldn't mm-hmm. find it there.
Mm-hmm.
So
what you're saying is it might be that the last contract you signed, that old one,
mm-hmm.
is still your most current contract.
And that's for a screenwriting instructor, not film festival director of film festival department.
Right. Okay. So step one, you need to ask them, hi, can I get a copy of my most current contract with you.
Okay.
Give them a date by Thursday. I need to, you know, check something. They give it to you, whatever they come up with, you go, great, thanks. Then you need to talk to a lawyer.
Okay.
And if your most current contract is the old one, then you have to talk to the lawyer about, like, if I sign this and I have this totally other position,
mm-hmm.
does that cover does any of it transfer?
Right.
Is it considered a general umbrella on which I'm still working? Like, find mm-hmm. out. If you have signed a more current contract for your current position, then you need to talk to the lawyer about that and the confidentiality clause in that. You need, because in order to go into this meeting, you have to say, well, you know, I've consulted with my lawyer and this is what he said. Instead of them just going, well, that means you can't. And it's like, well, let's know legally if that's exactly what that means.
Right, right.
And I'd be very interested to know if the fact that you didn't actually have a job description contract about confidentiality in your current position, if legally, and I have no idea if legally mm-hmm. they have any foot to stand on, but you need to know that before going into the meeting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Because I do think that they would be reluctant to let me go because I bring them such high profile things mm-hmm. and it would be very hard for them to replace that as well as have institutional knowledge. So this alum was at the school 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So was I. Like mm-hmm. it takes that long for people to pop,
yeah,
as my friend says. So I think they would want to keep me, and I think they might be willing to negotiate even if there is a confidentiality agreement.
That's right, because the conversation is, I cannot just stay here mm-hmm. only. I have to expand my income in this day, you know, in this point of inflection in our country and the inflation. And I understand that that means you can't raise my salary, but that means I need to do some other things.
Right.
And I need to reduce my hours here. Yeah. And I would prepare a little document that you can screen share or push across the table at the negotiation, and at least three, as many as you can, of like what you bring to the table in print, articulated. And it's not just my relationship with the director guy, but it's like, he was here 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, kept in touch, and he developed, and, you know, I was still here, and it was easy to bring back this thing and make this happen for this school.
Right. Right.
I did that.
Right.
Like things you can actually point to and say how you personally impacted their reputation, their student retention, their bottom line, whatever. So have that ready. So I want you to have your legal ducks in a row so that you have a clear understanding of the of your contract, and no matter what they say,
right,
you can counter with, well, that's not my understanding and my lawyer's. And then this is what I bring to the table.
Okay.
And then, as we discussed earlier, it's like, I have to live. I have to pay my bills.
I have to retire.
And this is the direction in which I am growing. And I haven't outgrown this yet. And I love contributing to your institution, but I can no longer do it in the way we've been doing.
Right. Right.
And ultimately, if they just say no, it means they're going to lose you sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it means you're not going to go above and beyond, because why?
No.
Why would you? Exactly. It's like, oh, you're getting bare minimum and I'm doing some of my work here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, because it's untenable. That's a good word, by the way. This situation is untenable, meaning it cannot last like this. And I would, you know, practice getting yourself into a verbal space where you can express curiosity and like, this is what I bring to the table. And I'm curious if you value it. You know, we seem to be on different pages regarding the value of what I'm actually bringing to you. Like, be curious with them. Don't be defensive. Don't defend yourself. Well, I need to pay the rent. No, it's just like, oh no, I've decided all of this about me. I'm just seeing if this can work with you.
Front door. Right. Right.
So you see how the energy of that is very different than asking permission or hoping or defending.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm here to see if this will work.
Yeah.
Cause this is happening.
Yes.
With or without you. You don't have to say that, but like, that's the energy.
Yes.
You're not making a decision. You've made a decision.
Right.
And you're just bringing them into the loop.
I've made the decision that this is an untenable situation.
Yeah. And that you're headed in this direction. Okay. You don't have to say any of this. This is what's beneath your energy.
Okay.
Because women, especially just out of habit and out of conditioning, pop into justification, defensiveness, apology, asking for permission, hoping.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. And that puts you in a weaker negotiating position.
Yes. Yes. This makes sense.
So what would be ideal? What is the thing you're like, oh, this would be great. Let me consult on the side and let me work this many hours.
Well, so our director of human resources left the company about 2 months ago, and or 6 weeks ago. It was after I started working with you. So let's say it was July, maybe August. And I had already decided I was going to ask her about the minimum number of hours I could commit to maintain my health insurance and the 401k contribution. They are not matching right now. They can't afford to match. Hmm. The life insurance, the dental, all of that stuff. And so I am literally saying goodbye to her and hugging her and asked her.
Good for you.
And I made myself do it. I was like, she's my friend. I don't know who's coming next.
Yep.
She's my work friend. She's known me for years. She knows what I contribute. And she just was like, 32 hours and you should ask.
Great. 32 hours. Great.
And, you know, of course I would like it to be less, but that's Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I go away and come back on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so my question is, you just went through an experience where you had to work more, mm-hmm. right? You went above and beyond.
Yes.
Because you're short staffed.
Yes.
But because you went above and beyond, the thing went well and you were able to pull it off.
Yes.
So I'm now putting myself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. So they just had this great thing happen, but it took you even more hours than you normally work. So how are they going to deal with when they need to have another great thing and you're only working 32 hours?
Ah, I have already thought about this. Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's very interesting because what happened was multifaceted. Some of it was a perfect storm, and some of it was the production issues because we can't afford an events coordinator right now. So we're producing by committee. Let me tell you, that's a terrible idea. And things were falling through the cracks, and I got a lot of, I would describe as, sexist pushback from a lot of questions that I asked and asking people to rise to the occasion. But don't worry. One of my pushback things actually got them into trouble on someone else's event. So I think maybe they won't be so resistant to my questions in the future.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. The other thing is they gave me a new computer, and the transition from one computer to the other is too boring to explain, but it just took so much. I'm still not done with addressing transfer of data. And this has been a month. And then the other thing is that I have been a part of our diversity, equity, and inclusion council. And these are values that are really important to me, but I spent a lot of time on deadlines for those, for two different projects that at the end of the day, I was like, this is not my job. This is not my job. This is something that I value and I do in my own work. I practice in my own work, but I cannot do this anymore. And I actually said that to my boss. I was like, one of the biggest issues has been this. And I've told them I can't even talk to them until mid-October. And I'm probably going to quit then mm-hmm. or just tender my resignation because I do not see this as a quid pro quo, but I had asked a committee to help me publicize something, and they got it out too late to actually help me. And this is after I spent 13 hours helping them write this newsletter.
Yep.
And again, it's not quid pro quo, but I just felt like I have worked so hard to meet your deadlines and to bring quality copywriting to this experience. Mm-hmm. And I got no benefit. My department got no benefit. Yeah. So that's the main thing, I think, Christine, is just to say, mm-hmm. and also I feel like I'll give them a menu and say, these are the things that I do, pick three. Like, mm-hmm. you can't have all of this.
Yeah.
I'm also saying that a lot more strongly than I would actually say to my boss.
Right. But it's like, you can't raise my salary. So, mm-hmm. and I'm doing too much.
Yeah.
This is, and you can say this to them. This is me making sure I can sustain myself in service to the school. I'm of no use to you if I have to take a 3-month medical leave because I've burnt myself out to the degree that I have a physical medical problem.
Yeah.
That's the end of this story. That's where that leads.
Yeah.
This is preventative medicine.
Right.
For us all. So that's a good framing. Because your job in this discussion is to shift their perspective. Yeah. They have the perspective, no, we need you at 40 hours at this amount of money. We can't do anything. No, no, no. That's where they're starting from. And you need to pull all these threads and offer them a different perspective right. that they might be like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Right.
And the best phrase for you through this whole thing, you know, like, well, we can't, you know, have you working 32 hours because that's going to be the hardest sticking point. It's like, what's your concern if I go down to 32? Because then they have to state something. Well, the work won't get done. Now you have something you can address specifically. Because if they keep the conversation up as like, well, we can't. Or can we table this until February? Mm-hmm. That's just them keeping it up here with no specifics. You have to pull them down to actual specifics that you can then address. Because right. I'm sure even without any preparation right now, you could address all the specifics they could possibly come up with. But that question, what is your concern mm-hmm. about me working 32 hours? Oh, well, we'll do it this way. And this is this way. And I'm already doing too much anyway. So we'll cut back on this. It's like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Yes. But
you just want to just take down each of their concerns.
And I think that maybe I'll make a commitment to you know, I really love doing the events. Mm-hmm. I love interviewing people. I love interviewing people I know. That's the best. I mean, I love interviewing people I don't know anyone also, but when I interview someone that I actually worked with, there's just a special energy that happens. Mm-hmm. And like, I introduced this director the other day and said hello to the audience, live audience and Zoom audience. And then I turned to him and I said, so, and his name, and he just started talking. Like it was so energetic and passionate. Like it was so much fun. And I think I just realized this. I just realized that qualitative difference, and that the people who want to do things with us that I don't know, I'm gonna send to the alumni department. And make them handle those people.
Yeah.
Let somebody else do that interview and produce that event.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to take the things off your plate that... Okay. You're so smart and competent and good at your wheelhouse of things.
Thank you.
That people are just being like, Cricket can do it. Like, cause you can make the magic happen, but that doesn't mean you have to.
You know what, Christine, one of my colleagues volunteered me for a meeting on Monday. And that's exactly what she said. She's like, we've got this problem we need to solve. And I think you need to do it. And I'm like, I can't do it. I'm not talking to anyone until October.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm like, I am thoughtful about the way I do things. And I think that's why, and I'm thorough. And I think that's why people want me involved. And I think that's what also makes me anxious, is because I don't have the time to be as thorough.
Right.
With all the different things.
Yes. One of my favorite things to say when people like, oh, you do not want my brain right now. You do not want my brain until October.
Right.
It is being focused and drained into some other areas right now, and it would be no use to you. That's how I say
it. That's brilliant.
Sometimes. Yeah. And it's hard to argue with that. The other thing, I want you to do this because it will help you start owning how flippin' amazing you are.
Oh,
you've got to own that more. Here's why. Because it can be so tempting when someone comes and asks you for something because you're so amazing and you know you could, this is the hard part, you know you could do it better than anybody else. Like, you know you could do the best event. They can do an event, but you know you could do it better. That's hard to say no to because you have to give up the hit of, yes, I am special. Yes, I am top quality. Yes, you are coming to me because I am good at this stuff. You have to give that up in order to say no, because I want to use my brain power for my thing.
Yeah.
You have to be very, very covetous of your own energy and put it towards your side business.
Oh, you know, it's very interesting because I just realized something. It is a little addictive when someone comes to me and says, Cricket, you're the person who can solve this. And I'm like a little mouse just going yum yum yum. And you know, do you remember a few months back I was telling you about the intersection between immigration law and film festivals, and somebody, a high up exec at the school the other day is having a little bit of a conflict with another department around this issue, and so they looped me into this. And do you know what I did? I spent 35 minutes writing an email in support of that guy. 35 minutes, yeah. maybe 45.
Why? Like, why?
I don't know. Because it feels good to be
recognized. It feels good to save the day.
It feels good to save the day.
It feels good to be recognized, because he'll be like, oh my God, Chris, that Cricket, that was amazing. And right. He's higher up, you know. Yeah.
He is.
If you, this is why, you know, we look at other people and it's like, it looks so obvious. Of course they should change. Of course they should stop doing that and do this instead. It would be so much better for them. Why don't they do it? We're so confused.
Yeah.
This is why. Because they're unwilling to give up what they get from it. Even if they're like, I hate it. It's like, yeah, but you're getting something. You're getting the treats. And you don't want to give it the treat. If you building your side business requires you to give up these little treats.
Okay, that might be the hardest thing. I'm realizing, like, that might be the problem with the day job, is because for so long it has created that excitement, that, like, what is it, serotonin influx or whatever. Nope. I am better, though. I do often ask myself, is this my problem to solve? Good. But maybe I need to do it a little bit more.
Yeah. And it's not even about, like, working on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you just start getting more and more excited and believing in what you can build over here, your day job becomes less and less where you go to get the excitement. I know actors who moved to Los Angeles, one of the most expensive places to live, to be an actor, and they give 110% to a day job that they don't even like. But it's the dopamine hit of the, they're getting a paycheck, they're getting some recognition from their boss. It has structure. Their acting career has no structure. They're not getting dopamine. It's like,
it's very hard.
We like recognition and dopamine and all those little treats. But we, if you are going to be entrepreneurial, you have to be giving that to yourself. You have to be being like, Cricket, you rock on that stuff. You have to be giving your compliments to yourself because there's nobody else to do it, especially in the beginning. Once you start getting happy clients, that helps a lot.
Right.
But you have to be like, I believe in this, and this is super exciting, and this is where I want to put all of my extra energy into. Me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Rather than the school.
Right.
And then you won't have to work on that problem. You just won't want to do it.
Right.
I can't be on that committee. I'm building a side business. I can't do that extra thing. I'm building my thing over here. And when your, as your business gets traction, it'll be easier because you'll be going to festivals. You'll be working with clients, and it'll just be your day job will be this big interruption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Self-administered dopamine treats, Kate wrote.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry this light's so bad now. This is really helpful. It's very interesting. I didn't expect to get this much information, but you really just helped unpack what happened in the last month. Yeah. It was really frustrating and exhausting and unsustainable.
Let's say worst case scenario, they're like, no. And you're working full time. Well, the worst case scenario is legally you are unable to do this side business.
Right.
But you got to figure a legal way out of that. You got to.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, no more money, same hours. Mm-hmm. Then the next plan C is you have to build some muscles and start withdrawing your energy back from the school.
Yes.
So that when you get home at the end of the day and have your weekends, you cannot be spent. You have to have extra energy. Plan C is going to be the hardest for you.
Right.
You'll be a little bit bitter that they didn't allow you to work less. You've got that, but that might help. The hardest thing though, Cricket, will be for you to do 85% at your job.
It will. 100.
Yeah. It is about caring more about your side biz than your day job. And your heart has been invested in the school, and rightly so. It was your main thing, but your heart can't be in two places.
Right.
Something has to be the higher priority. And it requires, if you can't get money and you can't get time, then you've got to take all the energy from that job, and you need to do the bare minimum. But think about it also. Mm-hmm. You've made a decision whether or not it pans out, but you've already made a decision that you would prefer to be doing this other thing eventually full time. Like if it went gangbusters and people were paying you the chunks of money and you had a reputation, like your preference is to go in that direction.
Yeah.
So in order to start moving in that direction, you have to start to say goodbye energetically to the school.
Yes.
Or else you'll always be tied and you'll never really be able to see experience the full potential this could be.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying leave the school, but you have to start saying goodbye. And if your employer is unwilling to kind of demonstrate in any way that they really do appreciate you, not just in words, mm-hmm. but we want you so badly that we're willing to play on your terms a little bit.
Yes.
If you're unwilling to do that, they don't appreciate you as much as they say. Their actions don't match their words. Sorry. And you cannot give yourself, then you're in a abusive relationship. You're giving your heart and 110% to someone who doesn't feel the same way to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, like, I'll have to make some decisions about what my next step is beyond staying there, creating my business or not. I think there will be some choices that have to be made. Yeah.
And they could lead to great things.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah. Whereas like fear the, I would change my job and it could be amazing. And you could have an amazing boss and you could just, it could be amazing. You're like, why didn't I do this 5 years ago?
Why didn't I do this earlier? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So thank you so much.
Yeah. I look forward to the next chapter. So
next chapter.
Contract.
Yes.
Talk to the lawyer.
Yes.
Have the conversation.
Yes.
Happy to help as you learn more things and very excited to hear how it goes. I'm so intrigued.
Me too. It may be a month or so before I do that because, but it is in process.
Yeah. And the things you can do is start to practice dialing back to 32 hour a week energy.
Yes.
Because here's the other thing. If your boss is like, no, it has to be 40 hours. Well, then you could take an hour a day on their time and do some stuff for you.
Oh, yes. Also,
like you could work 32 hours for them.
Yes.
And the rest of the time for you. Now, I know that some person listening to this is like, that's horrible. That's like being so unfair. Well, let's put this into context. Mm-hmm. She has done 110% for more than 15 years.
Okay. Yes.
They've gotten a lot out of you.
Yes.
More than they've paid for.
Yes.
And by any means necessary, folks, you want an acting career in the arts? You want to build a side business that could be a future career for you? You got to be a little ruthless. If you're in a job that won't let you off for audition, then you have four grandparents and each of them have to kick the bucket so you can go to four auditions. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You're not, she wouldn't be ruining the school. It's not like she's stealing post-it notes and like, you know, like taking all the office supplies. She is doing what is necessary, A, not to burn out so they can keep her for the 32 hours they're getting from her, which they want. She's saving them money by staying because they don't have to go find a replacement, which costs money.
Oh, yeah.
Time, energy, like, oh, dear God, and the transition. And she could leave in 2 weeks. Bye. Like, she's not doing that. So we really have to put, like, stealing from the school in perspective and in context. And I'm sorry, my personal philosophy, you by any means necessary, it's hard to carve your own way in the world. And as long as you're not harming other people and really like intentionally, detrimentally harming the person employing you.
Yeah.
They're paying you for a certain amount of time at a certain rate. And your job is to give them that. And most of the time, that's about 85% of your energy, not 100 or 110.
Yeah.
Just
I think
saying.
That's true. I think that's true. I concur.
It's just that is strictly my point of view. And I don't necessarily speak for Miata on that. This is just my personal point of view and how I advise my clients as well. Because there's a lot of things we're taught in society and in school about morality and lying and stealing that are good, but we're also taught in a certain way that is advantageous to the people who are teaching us about that stuff, to keep us in line, to keep things moving smoothly. Schools gotta have rules. They don't want kids stealing. Like, of course, do your parents want you lying to them? No, it makes things a lot easier if you're scared to lie to them, because then, you know, it makes their job easier. But to just say black and white, lying is bad, I don't agree. I think life is shades of gray. Everything is contextual. And we really have to be careful when we think in black and white language and when we're talked to
right
in black and white language, because I always ask my question, consider the source. What's in it to the source of this information for you to believe this information? Mm-hmm. And women especially are conditioned, or anyone raised female is especially conditioned to go by the rules.
Agreed.
Just go by the rules. And I'm like, you got to question the rules, because they may be holding your potential back. And in our society right now, we're getting lots of symbols that, yes, exactly, we want to hold you back. That's exactly what we want to do. So question everything.
Yes.
Their hands, everywhere. Your employer's hands aren't tied. They might be tied in one area. We can't raise your salary, but right, that doesn't mean they're tied across the board. They could let you work less hours. They could totally do that. They don't want to. Understandably so.
Thank you.
Cricket, this is such beautiful growth. I mean, I remember meeting you first in the Abundance Bound Money Mindset sessions, and I was like, this woman doesn't know how fabulous she is, but when she realizes it, oh, get ready, world. Get ready. You are a lot of powerhouse.
Thank you.
You are. And I know you could sit down and find all the evidence for that, Cricket. There's so much evidence. People have told you that repeatedly. You've saved the day repeatedly. You are sharp as a tack in your wheelhouse of stuff. You have to be sharp at attack everywhere. You are sharp as attack in enough areas that makes you amazing. And owning that is where the confidence comes from, and the risk-taking capability, and the being able to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'll keep weightlifting.
That's right, baby. So you two, you guys feel complete for today? That feel good? Hi, Kate.
Thank you
for popping in. Yeah. And Kate, by the way, if you ever have anything to add, just wave your hand, because Kate comes from a whole corporate artistic background and she has lots of knowledge as well. So,
yes.
All right.
I'll tell you one little thing since you said so. I was thinking, I had a review once when I was working at corporate marketing, and I had this review. It was a glowing review. I couldn't run this department without you. What you bring, the creativity, the innovation, we couldn't do it without you. And here's a 2% raise and you're already being underpaid. And it turns out my supervisor didn't know what I was being paid. She was just told by HR 2%. And fortunately for me, I had done my research and I went on Glassdoor and looked at all the competitive things, and I talked to a lawyer. So I was really well prepared, and I was able to say, I so appreciate this excellent feedback, and I really know that you mean it. And this is a business, and the way a business expresses value is with money. And this is what I'm being paid, and this is where I should be paid. So we need to do something about that. And I asked for a huge raise, and they came back with half of it. And, you know, future promises to raise it again. But it was like a 15% raise. because I had done my research, and just that thing of being able to be calm and be able to say, this is a business. And so the business needs to speak to me in terms of money. And my supervisor was just like, what? So she went back to HR and voila. So that's related. It's not the same. It's not the same kind of business, but that might be helpful for Cricket and others who are listening.
Oh, yes. But it's very important to note that they're like 2%, 2% is all we can do. It's like, or 15, look at the wiggle room there. And you know, 15 wasn't what they could do. It's what they were like, let's shut her up. So here we go. You know, it was, but 2% to 15%, like that makes that 2% even more insulting. It's like, whoa, you were able to do that. And, but from their end, they like compliant, lovely people who will give 110% and be so grateful. They get a sweet, sweet letter of praise. Like, and then just go, thank you. I'm so lucky to have a job. I'm like, you're lucky to have me in this job. So a little more of that on the inside helps.
Yeah.
And then you doing your research and having just the facts. And when you have facts, just like Cricket, when you've got your legal stuff, it's like, I mean, there's no emotion here. This is just the facts. All the emotions on the inside, but you know, tone of voice, it's just the facts. Yeah. Oh, such a good example, Kate. Thank you. Go have a wonderful rest of your Sunday evening.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. Thanks, everybody. This is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.